We are going to look at chapter 13 tonight. And chapter 13 is sort of an unusual chapter. How many of you know where the Antichrist is coming from? Well, you will learn tonight. As we come to chapter 13, we're going to meet two of the prominent participants of the tribulation. These are not new to a student of the Bible, but were first introduced by the prophet Daniel. So if we go back to Daniel, we will learn a little bit about Revelation. And so we'll be looking there for information regarding the two primary deceivers. The two primary deceivers. And they are not related to any political party, okay? Let's look at the first beast. He's a political and a compilation of the four major kingdoms that we read about in the Old Testament. He's a compilation of all four of them, with the kingdom of Rome being prevalently represented, as you will see. So let's take a look at the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation 13, verses 1 and 2. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon the horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as at the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. A beast. The apostle standing on the shore saw a savage beast rise out of the sea. A savage beast. A tyrannical, idolatrous, persecuting power, springing up out of the troubles which took place. It was a frightful monster. A monster. It appears to mean that worldly, oppressing dominion, which for many ages, even from the times of the Babylonian captivity, had been hostile to the church, to God's people. The first beast then began to oppress and persecute the righteous for their righteousness' sake, but they suffered most under the fourth beast of Daniel, the Roman Empire. This empire, this Roman Empire, has afflicted the saints since its inset, because it has been operating in the power of the devil. Folks, we're talking about what is now today the Catholic Church. Are there Christians in the Catholic Church? Yes, there are. I have known some. I do not know why they were there. I do not understand what they found there that they seemed to think was attractive to them. But the Roman Empire is a part of this first beast. Daniel talked about four empires. First of all, it was the Babylonian Empire, to which he was subject. Remember, he was captured by the Babylonian Empire and taken back to Babylon, where he was made a eunuch so that he could never have a family or generate any children. And he lived there for the 70 years. In fact, he lived there longer than the 70 years. And during the time he was there, God showed him visions. As he looked off into the distance, he did not know how deep he was going in history. Four empires, the first represented by a leopard, as we are told here in chapter 13, verse 2. And it says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard." That would be the Babylonian Empire. That was their symbol. They were fast. They swept across the land. The next thing that he saw, the feet of a bear. That would be the Medo-Persian Empire. Empire number one would be Babylon. Empire number two, Media-Persia. Empire number three would be the Grecian Empire. That would be represented by the mouth of a lion. And then we see the fourth empire, the Roman Empire, the empire of iron, steel. And that empire still exists today. This empire, the Roman Empire, we will see as these heads are described, and we'll cross that bridge when we get there. So, this first beast is a political beast. It rises up out of the sea, and it's talking about the sea of humanity. John was standing on the shore looking over the human race, and this beast rises up. One thing we should note about this first beast is human. Maybe demon-possessed, but nonetheless human. The second beast that we will see when we get to verse 11 comes up out of the earth. It is not human. It is not human. So, verse 3 tells us about this first beast with the seven heads and 10 horns and 10 crowns. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. When the Roman Empire collapsed due to immorality, homosexuality, and the other things that destroyed it, people thought the Roman Empire was dead. That is the wound. There was one other thing that wound could represent. It could represent the idolatry that the Catholic Church and the Roman Empire practiced. The Church has always practiced idolatry. That's one of the reasons they don't use our King James Bible. Because when we start reading the Ten Commandments, in the King James Bible, we find that we are not to bow ourselves down to idols, not anything that is in land or in the water or in the sky. We are not to bow ourselves down to idols, and yet they do. It is a part of their worship. It is man-made. It is instigated by Satan. The wounded head may be one thing, and Matthew Henry, who wrote his commentaries in the 1600s, made this statement about the Catholic Church, just to tell you how well they were liked and how long they've been liked. Matthew Henry said in the 1600s, "The wounding of the head may be the abolishing of pagan idolatry, and the healing of the wound introducing popish idolatry, the same in substance, only in a new dress, but which is as effectively answers the devil's design." You read that one more time. The wounding the head may be the abolishing of pagan idolatry, getting rid of that, and the healing of the wound introducing popish idolatry, the same in substance, only in a new dress, but which as effectively answers the devil's design. He didn't think much of the Catholic Church. A lot of people don't think much of the Catholic Church, but folks, we had to look at it like Jesus looked at it. Jesus loved us when we were not lovely. Jesus loved us before we were lovely. And in spite of who we were and what we were, he loved us and he saved us. He died for us. He loves the people in the Catholic Church like he loved you and me. It is the organization itself. It is the Nicolaitan. Remember as we were seeing the seven churches and the letters to the seven churches? And John mentioned Nicolaitanism. That is the popish organization of the Catholic Church. The Pope actually expects to be worshipped. When people come before him, what do? They kiss his ring. Is that idolatry? Yes, it is. And so, you see, God hates that. He is very jealous of that. Verses 4-6. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blame his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. This beast is a political beast. Who is he against? He is against the Church of Jesus Christ. He is against those who are righteous. He blasphemes them. I want you to think about our present society. And again, we're not going to go toward any political party. We're talking about our overall society. What is taking place right now? They are trying to destroy the church, as they have been doing for years. They are still trying. And when I say they, it is not one political party. It is the overall government and the politics that are involved with a group called progressives. Progressives are in favor of a one-world government, a one-world currency, a one-world people. That is what this first beast is going to want. And the people worship the dragon. Devil worship, folks. Devil worship is becoming more and more prominent everywhere you look. College kids have what they call covens, where they worship the devil. They think they are playing at this thing. They do not realize that they are jeopardizing their very soul. Now, this was a political beast. This was not a religious beast. But they worshiped the dragon because the dragon had the power to do what they wanted done, what they wanted to see done. We are seeing this in our present society. I believe that as we have been studying the book of Nahum, we have talked about crossing over a line. There is a line that God draws for each person. You can go so far, but if you cross that line, you are lost forever. And so one of the things we have to realize is that you can sin the unpardonable sin. And it's the last sin you will ever commit with any hope of being forgiven. The world admired the power, policy, and success of the devil. They paid honor and subjection to the devil and his instruments. This first beast was one of his instruments. The devil has instruments. If you have pets or you have had pets, the devil can demon possess an animal, a cat or a dog. You say, how come you say that? Look what happened to the pigs under the command of Jesus Christ. So you can have an animal that is actually demon possessed. And I have met some pets. That I have wondered about. And then I have wondered about those pets' owners who think they are so cute. So they worship the dragon. Men have been required to honor the creatures that the devil has presented to them. There is only one person whom we are to pay honor to. That's to God. The Trinity, Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Those are the only ones worthy of honor. Those are the only ones worthy of worship. When we come here, folks, we're going to worship God. We are not going to give any honor to the devil. He is not deserving of honor. Honor must be earned. And only God has earned that honor through his love for us and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sin. So the world will admire the power of the devil. Yet the devil's power and success are limited. Christ has chosen a remnant. We are part of that, people. If you know Jesus Christ tonight, we are part of the remnant. We're not part of the world. We're not part of that group. There is not supposed to be any world in our life. It's supposed to be the Lord Jesus Christ primarily. The group, the remnant that Jesus has chosen, of which we are part, is redeemed by his blood. And it's recorded in this book, sealed by the Holy Spirit. And through the devil and Antichrist, though they may overcome the body, they can never overcome the soul or take possession of the soul. If you are saved tonight, your soul belongs to Jesus Christ. And it will be that way for eternity. You cannot lose that if it has really taken place. So the soul cannot be conquered, nor can it be prevailed over with true believers. No true believer will ever forsake their Savior. I want to say that again. No true believer will ever forsake their Savior. We will not join his enemies. Perseverance in the faith of the gospel and true worship of God in this great hour of trial and temptation, which would deceive all but the elect. The hour is coming, people. It is approaching. We are drawing very close to that hour when the world will be deceived. Everyone in the world will be deceived but the elect. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you should not and should not be deceived. You should know who the Antichrist is. There is a powerful motive and encouragement for us to be consistent, and this is some of the things that we need to do today. It is the great design of this whole book that we are studying, the book of Revelation, is our consistency as children of God, as possessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this first beast that we see would coincide with Daniel's fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7. And the fourth beast of Daniel's vision would represent the fourth kingdom, or Rome. The ten horns would be ten kingdoms comprising the old Roman Empire. It was comprised of ten kingdoms. You see, the Roman Empire has existed ever since it conquered the ten kingdoms. It has diminished in power, but never ceased to exist. It still exists today in the guise of the Catholic Church. The beast that rises up out of the sea has the characteristics of the last four empires to conquer the Mediterranean area. This has all taken place in that area, geographic area around the Mediterranean. That's where the empires were. That's where the Roman Empire finished up. We see symbols that these empires used to represent them in this first beast. The leopard would represent, as I said, the Babylonian Empire for swiftness. The feet of the bear would represent the Media-Persian Empire, which conquered the Babylonian Empire and succeeded it. The lion would represent the Greek Empire. That empire was broken up into, that empire conquered the Media-Persian Empire, and then the Greek leader of that empire died, and four of his generals split the empire up amongst themselves. And that made the Greek Empire less able to defend itself against the Roman Empire. And the beast itself that we are seeing rise up out of the sea is the Roman Empire. These empires were given their power by the dragon or the devil. Now the world worshiped the dragon for all his power. And the beast became his instrument to control the people during the last half of the tribulation, the great tribulation period. People have a natural propensity to worship something. And so the devil has to have his counterfeit savior, as we will see in a few more verses. The first beast, the political beast, attacks those who have gotten saved during the tribulation. There will be people who will get saved. They will believe. They will call out to the Lord Jesus Christ during the early part of the tribulation. We saw their souls under the altar in chapter 5, calling out to God to take vengeance upon them, those who would put them to death. And so there will be many millions saved during the tribulation period. The political beast will attack, as certain groups are attacking right now, the church and the Word of God. Because in the Word of God is where the Christian gets their power. It is through the Word of God that Christians learn of God and depend upon God and actually accept His promises. God is preparing our society for the end of the church being an influence upon the world. That's why all of us, need to work harder. We need to be more aware of where we are at in our society. This political beast is prepared to destroy anything that is righteous or godly. And the day will come when there will be some persecution of the church and those in the church. The devil gives him his power over the world because he has no power of his own. This beast that rises up out of the sea of humanity has no power of his own, but the devil gives him his power. The beast is human, and the sea that it rises out of is the sea of humanity. Revelation 13, 7 and 8. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. The power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Notice that he makes war only against those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. They are the only enemies he has. Right now, as our government, no particular party, but our government, they fear those who are saved, because those who are saved know the truth. Those who are saved have the truth in their heart because the Holy Spirit lives there. And so they fear us. And so this first beast makes war against all of those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 13, 9 and 10. If any man have an ear, let him hear. We heard that call to attention for all of the seven churches. As the letters were being written to the seven churches, they ended with that statement. Any man have an ear, let him hear. In other words, listen to what is written here in this book, and you will not be deceived. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. I want you to remember this prophecy, and there is the same call to attention that the seven churches were given, and it is God's warning to all of those who hear the call. Jesus spoke of this policy in his Sermon on the Mount. And let's look at that, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. This is from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. This is a law of God. This is a biblical principle. It is one which holds true because it is from God. And Jesus told his disciples, his followers, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Be kind out there in traffic. Be kind to the people in your life. And that then God will be kind to you. It's a law that he has written, a Bible principle. All right, Revelation 13, verses 11 and 12. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Idolatry. There is so much of it around us today. Those who understand the first beast to denote a worldly power take the second beast also a persecuting and assumed power, which acts under the disguise of religion and of charity to the souls of men. In other words, this second beast rises up out of the earth. He has more power than the first beast. He has two horns like a lamb. He is a counterfeit Jesus Christ. This is the Antichrist. The second beast is the Antichrist. He gives the first beast additional power. He causes the world to worship the first beast. Who controls worship? The religious leader, the Antichrist. His dominion is a spiritual dominion, professing to be derived from Christ. He is an imitation. He is a counterfeit. He is an antichrist. He exercises at first in a gentle manner. And people thought, okay, he loves us. He's looking out for us. But he soon, if you will look at the description, he soon spake like the dragon. Who is the dragon? Another name for the devil. Another name for Satan. Another name for the angel who was once called Lucifer. Its speech betrayed the second beast, for it gives forth those false doctrines and cruel decrees which show it to belong to the dragon and not to the lamb. It exercised all the power of the former beast. It pursues the same design, to draw men from worshiping the true God and to subject the souls of men to the will and control of the devil. The second beast has carried on its design by methods whereby men should be deceived to worship the former beast, the first beast. The first beast in a new shape or likeness made for it by lying wonders and pretended miracles. That is a warning to us, something we should learn from. All of the Bible is for our learning. But there's one thing we should learn here. Remember the people who claim to be healers? As the charismatic started its movement in the 50s and 60s, there were the men who would do healings. They would have healing lines, and they would have people come up, they would lay their hand on them, they'd be slain in the spirit, or they would begin quivering or running up and down the aisles. I was in a very fundamental church in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm not going to name the church, but I'm going to tell you what I saw as a student at Bob Jones University there on a Sunday night, as Harold Seidler got up to preach, and he was a good man, a good preacher. As he got up to preach, a couple of the deacons began running up and down the seats, supposedly in the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, that's not how the Holy Spirit acts. Remember 1 Corinthians. Who wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit. Didn't he inspire it? Was that not his word when he said, let all things be done decently and in order? Yes, he said that. Is that decent? Now, if any of you ladies start this, running up and down the seats, I'm going to ask the deacons, I'm going to get Jimmy and Lacey to throw you out, okay? Bobby's got his granddaughter with him, and so he can't do that. But the devil is such a deceiver. He makes it look so authentic, and yet it's not. So this second beast had two horns like a lamb, and that was because he was a counterfeit lamb, a false savior. This second beast was even more powerful than the first beast. He did miracles. He could call fire down from heaven. He could heal people. He could do all kinds of supposedly supernatural things. But it was not supernatural, it was demonic. And we have demons all over the world tonight serving the devil. Verses 13 and 14. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So they were to make an image. Remember Nebuchadnezzar making a 90-foot tall image of himself and expecting people to worship it? I think there were three men who refused, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And remember what happened to them? King Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire of that furnace and he saw four people walking around, not the three he had thrown in there. And the fourth person looked like the Son of God. Folks, I'm so glad we belong to him tonight. We have nothing to fear from whatever the world is. Oh, they might kill this old body one way or another, but they cannot touch the soul. That belongs to Jesus Christ. That is going to be gathered before his throne. Notice that the second beast had more power than the first, and that he deceives mankind as his means of exerting influence upon them. I question whether this second beast is human or not. I don't know. I believe because it came up out of the earth, it came up out of hell. I cannot be dogmatic about that because the Bible does not tell us. But I believe that's where he came from. He comes up from the ground, but I think it's more likely that he comes from hell. And it's my belief, but I can't be dogmatic, that he is a demon who has been especially trained by the devil to fulfill all of the duties of that second beast, that he might be prepared to fulfill the devil's plan for mankind, for his war against God. Now, this plan includes some kind of special mark which will act as a license to permit activity upon the earth. Without the license, a person will not be able to work, make purchases, or do anything anywhere on earth. And there have been many ideas leading in this direction, but not the actual fact. It's interesting to note there are certain aspects of those in power to control the population by licensing. There are people on earth today in prominent places of authority who are imitating these things already, licensing people to be able to buy and sell and go. If you're in New York, you have to have the COVID shot before you can go into a restaurant. And there are airlines that require a COVID shot before you can fly. They are licensing people, they are controlling people by a license. What is going on now? These people are imitating what is coming in the future. Some cities, if you've not had your COVID shot, you cannot eat in a restaurant. But none of those things are actually the mark of the beast. I remember when they began to issue, it used to be, for those of you who are a little more mature, I'll put it that way, than some others, you may remember that you had to apply originally for your Social Security number. And then they passed a law that every baby would be issued a Social Security number when it was born. And I remember hearing Christians saying, oh, that's the mark of the beast, that's the mark. No, it was not, folks. That's not worldwide. The mark of the beast will be worldwide. That's one of the things you can count on. There have been other things that they have said, oh, that's the mark of the beast. Or when you get your injection for whatever you're getting a vaccine for, that they're going to inject a chip, and that will be the mark of the beast. None of those things are true. None of them. You belong to Jesus Christ if you are saved. They cannot take your soul. They cannot touch it. It belongs to Him. He defeated them on the cross. When He said it was finished, they were. And it's coming. So, none of these things are the mark of the beast. They're just evidence that the ones promoting that kind of requirement are just being influenced by who? By the devil. That's right. They are. This is just one of the requirements being influenced by the devil. And after all, they're not saved, so they already belong to him. Revelation 13, 15 through 17. I'm sorry, Revelation 13, 15 through 17. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, the one that they wanted made, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. See, they can kill the body. They can kill your body. But they cannot touch your soul. Verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. There, people, is the mark of the beast. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So can you imagine everyone walking around with some kind of a number across their forehead? You would know immediately whether or not they belong to the Lord or whether they belong to the devil. All of the activity on earth is either around man or around demons. We have to remember that. We are at war. We are at war with the devil. We are at war with his minions, his instruments. We are at war with demons. The number that is given is the number of man, 666. Now, every time you see a license plate on a car with that 666 on it, they're not connected. Okay. State of South Carolina is not an instrument of the devil yet. Can you imagine what it would be like to have to wear the mark and be immediately identified as belonging to the beast? The person who belongs to the religious beast is on their way to hell, and evidently the lake of fire. Any questions? We're done on time. Any questions or comments about this? It's pretty plain, folks. It is pretty plain. Will we see it? I hope not. I hope not. I'm ready to go home. I don't want to be around when that happens. Now, when will it happen? I'm going to tell you right now. It will happen when the world gets into such chaos and the beast stands up and claims to have a solution. And when he makes the agreement with the Jews, with the nation Israel, that they can rebuild their tabernacle, they can rebuild the temple, that will begin the tribulation. It won't be immediately after the rapture. It's going to take a few days, a few weeks, a few months. But the Antichrist will step up, and he will make an agreement with the Jews, and that will begin the 7 years of revelation, the 7 years of temptation. And then the last half of those 7 years, 3.5 years, will be called the Great Tribulation Period. That's when the devil will be in total control. Yes? What's that? I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you. Yes, absolutely. They will be. Those who trust Christ will be killed. We saw their souls in chapter 5 under the altar. And it will be millions. It will be millions. I can't imagine, Faye, how many million people are in heaven right now gathered around that throne. I just can't imagine it. Man, it's going to be something when we get there. It is really going to be something when we get there. Any other questions? Yes?
How does the situation in Ezekiel 38 and 39 tie into Revelation?
Ezekiel 38 and 39. Let me flip over there. There are some cities mentioned in the book of Revelation. There is a consensus among most Bible scholars that those cities represent areas that are in Russia, Gog and Magog. They are cities where events will take place during the tribulation, where there will be battles, where there will be problems. There, 38 is a Ezekiel prophesies against Gog for the future invasion of Palestine. They will attack Palestine. What's going on right now in Ukraine may be simply something leading up to that attack. In chapter 39, it tells about how those who attack Palestine will be overcome and destroyed. That may have to do, and I'm not being dogmatic about this, that may have to do with chapter 19, Revelation, when Jesus comes riding on the white horse. He destroys all evil. He destroys the Antichrist. He destroys the beasts. He overcomes and binds the devil during that time. Does that answer your question at all? That's my way of saying I'm really not sure. Folks, there are things in the Bible that I don't understand, and I'm not going to deceive you on that. If I do not understand it, I'm going to tell you that, because I don't want to be guilty of adding to or taking away from the Word of God. Any other questions? One troublemaker in every group, okay. All right, let's go ahead and close with prayer. And it's after 7. You ready with the last song? Okay, let's do it. Father, thank you for giving us this evening. Thank you for letting us gather together around your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit leading us as we have looked at the beasts that are going to rise up out of the sea and out of the earth, under the power of the devil. Father, protect us. Keep us from his influence. Keep us from his power. And Father, may your power live in our hearts and our souls. May you be glorified by the life we live. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll go.